May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Isaiah 33. It says, your tackle hangs slack, and it cannot hold the base of its mast firmly, nor spread out the sail. Then the prey of an abundant spoil will be divided, and the lame will take the plunder. When I first discovered all those years ago that I was actually in Christ and Christ was in me, and the only person who could live the Christian life was Jesus, and he lived inside of me just to do that very thing, that was such a, in the midst of my clinical depression and clinical anxiety, that was such a ray of hope. Because I realized there was, even though I was a Christian, there was a life that could be one lived victoriously. And it was the very life that Jesus was prepared to live through me. That was the good news. The bad news is that I was so broken, so lame, crippled, that I assumed that there was no way in the world Jesus could live his life through someone so weak. And so the despair I felt was that somehow I had to find a way to get my act together and get healed up so that Jesus Christ could live his life through me. So the first great discovery was that Jesus Christ was prepared to live this Christian life, but the second great discovery was is that my weaknesses didn't disqualify me, but they were the very things that positioned me and postured me for Christ to live his life through me. For in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. That it's the lame who take the plunder, because it's the lame who've learned how to lean. It's the lame who live by faith. I shared last night in our study in the book of Ephesians that when Paul would write his letters, he would always address himself and usually say, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And I think one of the reasons he does that, because he wants people to remember who he once was. He once was Saul. And Saul was the first king of Israel. He was a Benjamite. He was the most famous of Benjamites, next to Benjamin himself. And the scripture says that when he was chosen, he was the tallest among the people. He had great physical physique. He was a great leader in the eyes of people. And he looked to be the kind of person who could lead. And that was Saul's name. And if you know much about Saul's history before he came to Christ, he did everything he could in the outward to live for God, to be a big man for God. But after he encountered Christ on the Damascus Road, and then in Damascus, he was healed, the scales removed from his eyes, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he changed his name to Paul. And the word Paul actually means little or small. And I believe that when you read the writings of Paul, Paul had come to discover that he could finally be real. Instead of trying to be a big man in the religious circles and trying to be a big man for God, he could just be real about his need and neediness and be small. Because in his smallness, Jesus would be prepared to be big. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. It says in Galatians that rejoice, O barren woman. Rejoice, O one who cannot conceive, because you will bear much fruit. And the idea being there is that weaknesses force us to depend on him at a level that those who don't own their weaknesses don't depend on him. See, the truth is, every human being born into this fallen world is born broken. Either through ancestral stuff or through the environment that you live in or just because of your own fallenness. Every human being has weakness in some way or another, some form of brokenness. Sadly, we're taught to kind of keep those things hidden. And when we become Christians, we sort of still kind of do that, keep them hidden, while we learn to say the language, sing the songs, and go to the right places to hang out with the right people, at least in public, though privately we may be living in hell and making life hell for everybody else around us, we got to at least keep it hidden. We learn to pretend. But the great liberty in my life was that I came to a place where I didn't have to be ashamed that I had weakness, but I didn't have to be controlled by them anymore either. That I could simply come and be real before Him, knowing that as I surrender my weakness to Him and leaned into Him, in my weakness His strength to be made perfect. There's a place in Matthew chapter 12. I think we referenced this the other day. But it says this. Jesus said, "If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property, unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house?" That place in Isaiah says, the lame take the plunder. There's a saying that there's nothing more dangerous than a wounded animal. Well, the truth is that there's nothing more dangerous than a wounded Christian. If a Christian understands that in their weakness, his strength is made perfect. As you grow in the Lord and walk with the Lord, and you've even come to understand this issue that you don't have to live hidden, that you're needy, and that's okay because He's adequate, there'll still be seasons and times in your life when it just seems like the cold breezes of a wilderness night blow through. And your lameness is kind of exposed at an accelerated level. It could be because of circumstances. It could be spiritual warfare. It could be hormones. It could be all kinds of stuff. But it's suddenly your lameness is exposed. It can manifest itself emotionally or all kinds of different ways. And the enemy at that point wants you to get you discouraged. But if that's something that you walk through, you need to understand the principle that I learned all those years ago never stops working. And that as the Lord allows the enemy to expose lameness, it's so that you can advance in taking the plunder of the enemy. It's so that you're more dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Because in the wilderness, Song of Solomon says, we learn to lean on our beloved. And every time we go through a wilderness place, it's not for our destruction, it's for the enemy's destruction, because we learn to lean into more heavily and utter more dependence. And the more a believer does that, the more the life of Christ is manifested and the more plunder we do in terms of the enemy's camp. So if you're going through a time of exposed lameness, don't be discouraged. This is when you're most dangerous to the enemy, not when he's most dangerous to you. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.